My internet seems to be going in and out. Can you hear me? Yeah. In and out, that's what I was afraid of. I'm not quite sure what to do. And come back in. While I do that, you guys take the opportunity to greet one another, please, and I'll go out. Yeah, maybe call Ken.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in, everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Thank you for posting those. retreat, a contemplative journey through Italy. As you know, there are two options for this pilgrimage. Option one is a 9-day pilgrimage. Option two is a 14-day pilgrimage. Both pilgrimages begin in Rome on October the 20th. During weekly gatherings over the past couple of months, we focused on highlights from the Option 1 pilgrimage, which both Option 1 and Option 2 travelers will enjoy. Today, I'd like to share a little bit about the Option 2 pilgrimage. On October 27th, after a full day of nights in Assisi, the Option 1 travelers will return to Rome and prepare to fly home on October the 28th. However, the Option 2 travelers will stay in Assisi for the next 3 days, October 27th through the 29th, and enjoy 3 free days in Assisi. There will be no tour. You will be able to follow your own guidance to enjoy Assisi in any way you want to. You can spend as much time as you want in the beautiful churches and cathedrals in Assisi. You can walk, visit museums, or simply follow your intuition with no plan at all and see where it takes you. For some, these 3 free days may be the most beloved part of the pilgrimage. If you're interested in 3 days of free time in Assisi, be sure to register for Option 2. Also, remember that in order to secure your place on the October pilgrimage, we need your registration by June the 20th. For full details, go to awakening-together.org and look at retreats under retreats and classes. It's just posted that link. Thank you. Next, I want to invite you to join us tonight for our movie watchers group. I didn't write this one down. And I'm still switching from Eastern time to Mountain time. Let's see, what time is our movie watchers group? Ken, can you tell us? I'll be there, I promise. I'll be there on time. Yeah. Are you guys still hearing me? Okay. And thank you. And what time's our movie watchers group? I apologize. 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you. Got it. Our movie for this month is Faith Like Potato. This inspiring true story of a rugged South African farmer, Angus Buchan, is set in the turbulent hills of the KZN Midlands of South Africa. Angus' manic quest for material success is slowly transformed into a wild love for God and people as he wrestles with faith, hope, natural disasters, and tragic personal loss. The movie's available to rent on Amazon, YouTube, and Vudu. The play sheet for this movie located on the Awakening Together website inside the movie announcement for May. You can find that announcement inside Awakening Together News under the Things to Read drop-down menu. Connie and I watched it again last night. It's a really sweet movie.
Yeah.
And we'll enjoy meeting with you tonight and discussing it. So you still have time to watch that this afternoon. All right. Next Sunday is our quarterly member meeting. The quarterly member meeting is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, June 3rd. That's 5 p.m. Pacific. Regina's traveling next week, so I will be leading that meeting. At the meeting, we'll look at our Q1 financial report. We'll talk about this summer's trustee election and more. So please plan to join us next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for the member meeting. If there is anything you would like to see addressed at the meeting, please email me at lightinthedream@yahoo.com. We look forward to informing you guys a little bit more about what's going on here at Awakening Together during our member meeting. So please join us. And again, if you want something, if you want to talk about something, let me know that in advance by emailing me, lightinthedream@yahoo.com. It's really sweet sitting in front of this window. We got happening soft, and it's an opportunity to now kind of, maybe just for me, but to kind of change gears and just, yeah, just settle in and be here now for the upcoming message. So Ken will turn the mic over to Lynn, who will play an opening song.
Good reasons for all the things I've done. I've got a picture in the back of my mind of what I've lost and what I've won. I've survived every situation, knowing when to freeze and when to run. And regret is just a memory written on my brow, and there's nothing I can do about it now. Got a wild and a restless spirit. I held my price through every deal. I've seen the fire of a woman's scorn turn her heart of gold to steel. I've got the song of the voice inside me set to the rhythm of the wheel. And I've been dreaming like a child since the cradle broke the vows. And there's nothing I can do about it now. Running through the changes, going through the stages, coming round the corners in my life. Leaving doubt to fate, staying out too late, waiting for the moon to say goodnight. Cry for the time I've wasted, but that's a waste of time and tears. And I know just what I'd change if I went back in time somehow. But there's nothing I can do about it now.
Just invite what will be to be. host, Aaron. Thank you, universe, for this moment. Amen. Well, I must be nervous. My hands are sweating. You're sick. All right. So Connie is going to do our reading this morning. She is reading from the Freedom of Being at Ease with What Is, a book by Jan Fraser. And she was going to read one section, and we just couldn't get enough. So she's going to read two sections, Presence and Timelessness, Life is Now, and then another book, Blurbs and Words came to me, too. So I'm going to quit yammering here and turn it over to Connie. Go on.
Presence and Timelessness. A hallmark of the awakened state, whether it's enduring or fleeting, is purity of attention to the immediate. The word presence has truly described the awakened condition as anything could, because it conveys how the perceiving living intelligence is present with the present moment. Awakened awareness is literally all of a piece with the present reality being perceived. The one being present and the reality being encountered are experienced as a whole. Anytime you're in a state of pure attentiveness, focused entirely on something that's happening now, you don't feel at a distance from what is. There's a sense of being an entity observing something. There's no sense of being an entity observing something existing in time. You are the moment. This phenomenon is sometimes, in fact, being referred to as being one with something or having merged with it. But the actual experience is of identity with the moment. In the aliveness of presence, no merging is felt because there's no separate something. There's no separate someone having an experience. There is simply happening. Simply this. Whatever attention is given fully to whatever's happening. This attention can feel its aliveness only in the present. Reality is a feature of this moment, not of some recalled or anticipated moment or period of time. Last winter, the year you were 18, all day yesterday. When you experience pure attention in a moment when you're riveted on some present happening, something overwhelmingly beautiful, dangerous, bizarre, painful, shocking, time appears to stop. A musical performance of extraordinary beauty, a sheer face of a mountain being ascended, someone in the room having a heart attack. At such a moment, attention is undiluted, really pleasant. Purity of attention. Such a moment often will be recalled later as having a quality of conspicuous stillness, mental quietude, a vitality, even if the moment carried a difficult content. The impression of time having stopped is just an appearance. It's just a moment of pure attention, the profound stillness within it is fleetingly realized. The flood of peace and well-being comes because the mind has grown quiet. It stopped listening that words and thoughts are reality. The mind isn't thinking about what's happening. It's not narrating, labeling, anticipating what's next. It's dropped the pretense that anything but now is real. Such is the power of attention. The exquisite stillness outside of the illusion of time is the experience of eternity. Eternity isn't an unending succession of moments stretching into some unimaginable forever. It is timelessness. In absolute presence, this is known. The present moment isn't located between the past and the future, however much the mind might wish to insist on this picture of time. The mind isn't a point where past and future meet. The now is outside of time altogether. Time has no independent existence outside of the mind looking before and after. Other moments can occur only as thoughts, not as inhabitable reality. The higher awareness knows that only this moment is real, that the future will never come. Maddened by this idea, the mind cannot comprehend its truth. The reason an awakened person doesn't fear death, which seems to exist in the future, isn't because of some assurance of afterlife or otherworldliness. It's because what not immediate isn't experienced as real. What is not real cannot be perceived as a threat. It's understood that death will come, will someday come. It just isn't relevant now. When the now of dying comes, it will be real. And if you awake, you won't think to resist it. You'll simply be with the moments leading up to death, as you've been with all previous moments. The other reason death isn't feared is that the body is no longer identified with being you. Life is now. All of rememberable life is just a thought. However significant it was at the time, however enduring its impact, only in the present tense moment it occurred would it ever be real. Anything anticipated when, if it happens, will happen in some moment. It will be real then, and then only. What's crucial for the person engaged in spiritual inquiry is to get the difference between the life of the moment remembered now and the actual life of that moment as it was lived. To not confuse the one with the other. If you ate a bowl of oatmeal this morning, it was reality then. Now it's a thought. The memory is a real mental construct, but it is not the same kind of real as the bowl of oatmeal yourself that time isn't real. It's that whenever you're thinking about something in another time or place, realize it's sole reality is the form of thought. When you confuse memory or any thought with reality, you miss the now. The familiar self experiences the mind's content as being of the same order of reality is what's actually taking place here and now. This self has a pretty constant need for content, and the mind happily obliges. Over and over again, life is happening here, but attention is elsewhere. The goal is to learn not to confuse mental constructs, not to confuse a mental construct, however useful it may be, with reality. There's nothing wrong with mentally evoking a picture of another time and place, so long as you realize the thought has no independent reality. As soon as you stop thinking the thought, whatever it points to ceases to be. From within higher awareness, when the mind is being rightly used, there can be deliberate mental reference to something beyond immediate sense, but there's no illusion that it's real. Either you're living life or you're living in a facsimile of reality that your mind creates moment to moment. You don't have to make yourself be in the now. There's no trick to make yourself be in the present. You already are. There's no place you could be. There's no place else you could be. You only have to notice what's already the case. How much do you want to have your life? To really have it, to be it, to come to your last moment and know that life didn't pass you by. It isn't life's content that determines its value. It's the awareness you bring to it, moment to moment. It's attention itself. Presence is the same regardless of the particulars of the moment. Being free means freedom from time. You're free of the belief that something important can happen in time. Of a sense that the future has the potential to make things better, or that there's something to be feared in the possibility of change or loss. You're free of ambition, of the idea that you need something, that you need time in order to finally experience fulfillment, and free too of the constant feeling that you don't have enough time. You are free of hope and free of the burden of the past, of all it has delivered you, the weight of memory, of conditioning, of patterns, of unresolved anguish. New life, unfolding life, as it comes moment to moment, is not felt to cling to you anymore, to be carried over as residue in the form of emotion or thought into whatever is next. As each moment happens, it is felt quickly to be gone, supplanted by the compelling reality of this moment. And now, again, this one. new conditioning does not take place. Living in the present means you don't particularly look forward to things, as before, when looking forward was a way to endure the perfect present. This is not because you believe nothing fun or rewarding is in the future. It's because the future doesn't feel real. Nothing is real but now. And now is enough. It's abundant. Thank you, Connie. My pleasure. All right. And I had you guys up on the board, but now the internet's gone out completely, so right now I can't see your your comments, so the Peltop promised me it would come back on when I got a connection. So, right. So, it's going to take me a minute to get kickstarted here. Interestingly, the topic has been coming in for me of the meaning of time and timelessness through my journaling with the Holy Spirit. And so the topic suggests itself, but you know, it's Connie and I have been talking about it. She's like, what are you going to say? I'm like, I have no idea. So let's just jump into it and see what happens. Yeah, so let's look at the beginning of this reading from Jan Fraser. She says, the hallmark of the awakened state is purity of attention to the immediate. The perceiving living intelligence is present with the present moment. The one being present and the reality being encountered are experienced as a whole. What Inner Wisdom said to me was what we normally do. Mind offers first one story, then another, trying to settle your attention on anything but your being. Beingness is you are. There is no journey from one point in time to another. And, you know, that's what we normally do is we normally hold ourselves apart from life. We see ourselves as characters moving through a series of events. And it's through doing this that we miss the essence of love. You know, in my journaling, Inner Wisdom said to me, you know, feel this now moment. What do you hear now? What do you see now? What do you feel now? Be in this moment. And, you know, we've heard of Eckhart Tolle talk about it, you know, the power of now, right? We've heard so many people talk about being here now. And yet, what we want to do when we think about that, first we've got to conceptualize this character that we are, and then we're going to make the character be still in the now. And as Inner Wisdom said to me, and this just really knocked my socks off. It is not the character who is resting, all right, when we try and be in the now. It's not the character who is resting. It is you who are resting with the idea that you are a character. The reason it seemed important to me to speak about this concept of time is because it's so wrapped up. Who we think we are is so wrapped up in this fundamental concept. You know, we've been talking in general healing about letting go of the laws of the world, right? Letting go of the concepts either held, you know, seemingly held by the character or held by the culture, right? But this fundamental idea of time, that I'm moving from point A to point B in time, keeps us stuck in this story of the character. You know, of course, Miracle talks about it as the hero of the dream. You know, that whole Joseph Campbell idea of the hero's journey. I'm going to move from point A, which we may think of as being completely unconscious to the reality of who we are, to point B, where I become aware of who I am. But the awareness of who I am is in that space in between. It's who I am without needing to transport this character from moment to moment to moment. And if we can give up the idea that this character had a past, that this character had some future, and just be in this moment, we give up that sense of separateness from life. We give up that sense of separateness from other people. As Jan Fraser told us, then there's no sense of being an entity observing something existing in time. You are the moment. And I may have just read this, but I'll read it again. When inner wisdom says me, beingness are, you are. There is no journey from one point in time to another. Inner wisdom also says to me, we are not limited by our linear model of time. There are no limits on being. You are infinitude. I wasn't real familiar with the word infinitude, and I looked it up, and the definition of that is the state of being infinite, of having no limits. So it's kind of cool because, you know, we think of time as separate from, you know, our concepts of, you know, being limited beings. You know, time just is. That's a given, right? sure as death and taxes, right? But the very concept of time is a concept that we adopt and accept, and it's clearly a limit on the truth of who we are. So much so that we look to the future, you know, and it's interesting, or it seemed interesting to me that Jan Fraser finished the first part of this talking about death. The reason an awake person doesn't fear death, which seems to exist in the future, isn't because of some assurance of afterlife or otherworldliness. It's because what's not immediate isn't experienced as real. What's not real cannot be experienced, cannot be perceived as a threat. It's understood that death will someday come, it just isn't relevant now. But, you know, I mean, we orient, I do, I assume everybody does, orient our whole lives around this idea of, you know, death. Well, you know, I've got to do this, and this. I've got to save for my retirement so I can have a little bit of fun before I die. Bucket list. A bucket list, yeah. Yeah, we even have a bucket list. So, but living in that way keeps us from the experience of this moment. And this moment. This moment. It's just amazing how wound up the idea of self is with this idea of time. And you, what you can do is you can watch yourself do it. Am I in this moment? And again, like Jan said, it doesn't take any special effort to be in this. effort that we don't realize that that's what we're doing. So we're never, rarely, maybe in moments, select moments of meditation, are we in the moment. The other thing, and Connie and I were talking about this the other day, have you ever been in a car accident and time just like, it's like Jan was talking about, it just seems to stop or go really slow, right? And I mean, and I've had a couple of major car wrecks, and even now, I can remember that, just that sense of time stopping. And you know, as your car's spinning around and around, you're not freaking out. Oh my God, what's gonna happen? You're just like, oh, cool. yes, where was that, Connie? Thank you. Yeah, she said the Jan says impression of time having stopped is just an appearance. It's not that time was flowing and now has passed. It never was in motion. It's just that in a moment of pure attention, the profound stillness within is fleetingly realized. The flood of peace and well-being comes because the mind has grown quiet. It stopped insisting that words and thoughts are reality. The mind isn't thinking about what's happening. It's not narrating, labeling, anticipating what's next. It has dropped the pretense that anything but now is real. And so, so we talk about the stillness. How do I reach stillness? Right? And we sit on our meditation cushion and but the stillness is what's present. The thoughts about what's going on now are what takes you out of the stillness. But the stillness never changes. The flood of peace and well-being comes in that still moment when we don't take ourselves out of that moment by thinking about the character, what the character did yesterday, what I got to do in 20 minutes, what I'm going to do tomorrow, what I'm going to do when I retire, how much time I have left. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that that Connie and I talked about is, you know, we're like, well, I can't really hear guys. I don't know, you know, and what we notice is that if we don't hear guidance, because guidance is in that still moment. Guidance is in the stillness. And we're always removing ourselves from that moment. We're always removing ourselves from that stillness. So, you know, so we're in our heads and can't figure out why it is that we can't quite get a grasp on reality. And the thing is, you get a grip on it. You know, reality is that consistent presence. And once you try to grab it, you know, it's gone. It's gone because who would grab it but the character? Inner Wisdom said to me, let me just reach this little paragraph that we wrote. If I undertake a journey to find that which I am, I must pretend to start from a location where I am not. The key is to stop pretending. Let go of building a self with a past and a future. And then refuse to fit this moment into your story. Refuse to fit this moment into your story. Be with the moment and its happenings as they are. So it's the character. It's the belief in the character that would take you out of this present moment. And you know, interwoven talk to me about, you know, your if this, then that attitude, right? If this happens, then that means, you know, this whole meaning that we place on what's really going on, which, in fact, obscures what's really going on. You know, we're so interested in the journey, the hero's journey, the character's journey, that we miss what's actually going on. What do you want to say? Yeah, and Kathy got back on the Health Podcast, has written from today's Thought of Awakening, to observe respectfully that mindset that recalls and offers the ultimate source of all I see and experience is to be still. So, so today's Thought of Awakening says, being in stillness, living in stillness, is being the respectful observer of all things. What is respectful? Respectful is a mindset in which you recall and honor the ultimate source of all you see and experience. To observe in this way is to be still. And I printed out actually three of these of our latest tips, and they're right on point. I'll read them. Thursday's tip, Thought of Awakening. Thursday's Thought of Awakening number 121 says this: there is a flow to all things, a harmony in action, which you recognize when you let go and let yourself experience the flow. What do you let go of? Let go of who you think you are and what you think you need to be happy. Let go of how you think things are supposed to be. Let go of stories which cover up and hide the perfection of the flow. The flow is this moment. So if you're using this moment to tell yourself a story about the character, you're not in the moment. You're not anywhere near the moment. You're twice removed from the moment. How do I get in the moment? How do I get in the moment? Just let go of the story. Let go of the, what did she say? The higher awareness knows that only this moment is real, that the future will never come. She said something, though, about, and it sounds really bizarre. It's like, what? Letting go of hope? Why would I do that? Hope sounds like a good thing. Do you remember where that was in that other reading? Yeah, you're free of ambition, of the idea that you need time in order to finally experience fulfillment. And free, too, of the constant feeling that you don't have enough time. You're free of hope and free of the burden of the past. New life, unfolding life as it comes moment to moment, is not felt to cling to you anymore, to be carried over as resident in the form of emotion or thought into whatever is next. And that's what we do. And we've heard this. Gosh, we've heard it. Heard Eckhart totally talk about it years ago. We heard, I remember David Hoffmeister talking about, you know, ego thinks about the past, about the future, but never about, you know, gets entirely over the present moment. Why? Because the present moment is who we are. The present moment is life unfolding. The present moment is the honoring of who we are. How do I find who I am? How do I find who I am? Well, just shut up a minute, right? Just quit telling the story. Quit believing in this character who has these serial adventures that need to be attended to by me. Where am I focusing my attention? Am I focusing my attention on this character? Am I focusing my attention on what might be? If I am, I'm living in some unreal dimension. You know, what you imagine may or may not occur. yourself do this. Just remember, this isn't living. This isn't life. Let me experience what's actually here now. You know, things will be attended to. If you need to buy a plane ticket, you'll buy a plane ticket. You'll buy a plane ticket now. Right? The thinking mind is a tool, and it's a tool that can be used. Sure, you got to know what date you're going to arrive and what date you're going to leave. But you don't have to spend today thinking about what you're going to do when you get to your sister's next week. You can just be in today. You can just be in this moment now. Buy the tickets and then be in this moment now. Right? Be in the moment as you press the keys on the keyboard. And this is where the guidance is. You know, you've heard people talk about, oh, it's just the perfect flight. It just popped up on my screen, or I couldn't get in for 20 minutes, and then the perfect flight popped up. You know, they would have been there 20 minutes early. This is the natural flow of life. This is the natural way of living. This is the guidance that's in the moment that's available to us all. We don't see it. Why don't we see it? It's exactly what we talked about a while ago. We don't see it because we're not in the moment with it. We're in some other moment. We're in the moment, you know, that we believe that the character has lived in the past or the character is going to live in the future. Or somebody's going to take advantage of hey, I've got to protect myself. I can't let down my guards. And it's all the story in the guard. And what are you guarding against? You're guarding against the reality of your being. You're guarding against the only reality there is, which is this moment. Let's look at the... Let's look at what time it is. Let's look at these other thoughts of awakening, and then I'll stop. For Saturday, thoughts of awakening number 123. Trust all things. The universe is a movement, and regardless of its appearances, the movement is consistently the same. The universe is moving toward realization, toward awakening. You are helpful to the movement of the universe by bringing peace to the mind as it moves. How do you bring peace to the mind? By remembering that the universe is a movement, and it is consistently moving toward awakening. This has nothing to do with his personal self, with moving his character through serial adventures. The universe is a movement that is consistently the same. Today's thought of awakening, number 124, being in stillness, living in stillness, is being the respectful observer of all things. What is respectful? Respectful is a mindset in which you recall and honor the ultimate source of all you see and experience. To observe in this way is to be still. It's to let the character go. Jan Fraser says, the exquisite stillness outside of the illusion of time is the experience of eternity. You are infinitude. The now isn't a point where past and future meet. The now is outside of time altogether. Time has no independent existence outside of the mind, looking before and after. So if you're somewhere else other than now, you are living in imagination. And what do we do about that? We notice it. And as we notice it, it falls away. We notice whether or not we're living in our imagination or whether we are in this moment honoring the truth of who we are. The higher awareness knows that all this moment is real. As Jan says, either you're living life the ultimate source that we all are, you can be sure that you're living in a facsimile of life rather than experiencing the eternal now. I'm going to let go of the mic. I'm going to ask Lynn to play us a song for contemplation. If you'd like to take this opportunity to donate to Awakening Together, we would much appreciate that. We operate on your donation. We'd also like you to take this time to just be with this moment. I'm free to share after the opportunity for contemplation. Okay. Let it go, the mic.
I just wanted to thank you for that message, Jacqueline. It was definitely timely for me to hear, as I'm contemplating and taking steps to have some big changes in my own life here. And temptation, of course, is always to go into the future. And so I appreciate the reminder to just stay present and allow everything to unfold one step at a time, as it should. So, very timely. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jay. Regina has her hand up. Regina, please take the mic.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And I just want to say first that if you need to come over here tonight for the movie discussion group, you and Connie are invited over for that. The second thing I want to say is when we went to La Vida on last Thursday, Connie and Jacqueline and their stepmother, Susan, and I, and while we were driving on this four-wheel drive road, Jacqueline told me that she knew her teaching was going to be on time, and that one part of the guidance she had regarding that was to ask Regina. And, you know, at first I was like, wow, you know, I don't know. You know, like I have nothing to say. But as we were driving along on this four-wheel drive road, and the views there were just magnificent. I couldn't begin to describe to you how beautiful and how open and how majestic where we were was. And what came to me, and I shared it as it came to me, was the clarity of the presence of now and consciousness as being one. You know, that you know, people think of now as a moment in time, which makes it very, very fleeting. It comes and it goes, boom, like this. But actually, consciousness, what I am now, those are all pointers to the same thing. And that is still, that is present, that is being. And what's happening, as one of the thoughts that Jacqueline read describes, is that it's the universe that's moving in and out of consciousness. You know, the appearance that the senses pick up is fleeting. In fact, Buddha called it impermanence, remember? The appearance that the senses pick up is fleeting, and it appears in consciousness and disappears. We talked about this last Tuesday night in Guiding Light. It appears and disappears and appears and disappears very, very quickly. And consciousness, presence, the now moment, is still an eternal. And what happens is the mind, being identified with the body and being identified with form, the mind thinks that time is passing. Time is the mind's way of trying to understand the appearance and disappearance of form. When the ego, thinking it is form, right? The body is form, the mind is form. The ego thinking it is form, it wants form to be eternal. So the ego makes up this story that I, the ego, body, mind, is eternal, and time is passing and happening to me, right? And that's just a story. What's actually really happening is what I am is still and present, and all of form, including the mind, is appearing and disappearing in me. And this is why we say there is no time and there is no space. And the way that we have an actual experience of that isn't by thinking through it. It's by doing what we are already doing. It's by focusing on consciousness as what I am, by awareness, watching awareness meditation, and by playing the games that we play as we read this Rupert Spira book, and we come up with these games that we play. This is all just different ways of focusing on consciousness as what I am. And as we focus on consciousness as what I am, it becomes clear. It just becomes clear naturally that I am still, I am present, and form, which includes thought and feelings and the images and the sound pickup, form is appearing and disappearing in me. And I am still. All right, so thank you for letting me share and releasing the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Regina. I just had one follow-on thought about what you said about consciousness and the moment and staying in the moment is, and that one of the things, I think the greatest thing that impedes us from doing that is the brain tries to store memory of these fleeting moments to create the illusion of time. So I think one of the things I've really learned from going through the NTI stuff is, you know, it's a choice. I don't have to hold on to these moments. And I think it's the choice, it's mostly an unconscious choice to hold on to these moments. And I think that doing that is what stores it in the brain that then comes up as a memory. If I choose to not do that and just let it go as it's happening, I literally do not put it into my memory. And so that you kind of... You don't create brain pathways then that you have to then let go of and work really hard to reprogram and, you know, and that sort of thing. So it's neat to remember that, you know, it's a choice to not hold on to these experiences as they're happening, to consciously just let them go and not form a memory. I have to sort of make a decision, I think, to do that. So I really appreciate all of the practices and the gains and all that lately where we're like, you know, challenging that, saying I don't have to hold on to and form this brain pathway memory. I don't have to keep accumulating that, which I think is a big help in remembering, in being in that consciousness that's constantly renewing in the presence. So giving up the mic.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, that was very well put. Regina points out that this week's game. Yes. So, I see that I'm out of time. I see Sharon has her hand up, but what I'm going to do is thank you all very much. Thank you for your patience with the technology. Thank you for allowing me to teach what I would learn to share in this way. Thank you, Connie, for reading.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We love you guys. Ken, I'm going to turn the mic over to you and let you, you conduct this thing since you've been doing it anyway. So thanks, everybody. Bye.
All right, Lynn, I'll turn the mic over to you for our closing song. And Sharon, hang on as soon as the song is over.
When you're falling awake and you take stock of the new day, and you hear your voice croak as you choke on what you need to say, well, don't you fret, don't you fear, I will give you good cheer. Life's a long song. Life's a lost song. Life's a lost song. If you wait, then you play, and I will fail. As the verses unfold, and your soul suffers the long day, and the 12 o'clock gloom spins the room, you struggle on your way. Well, don't you sigh, don't you cry, lick the dust from your eyes. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. Life's a long song. We will meet in the sweet light of dawn, as the Baker Street train spills your pain all over your new dress.
symphony sounds underground, but you wanted you a rest. Well, don't you squeal as the wheel grinds you under the wheels. That's a long song. That's a long song. That's a long song. The tune ends too soon for a song.